message today is entitled Keeping the Gloom Out. Keeping the Gloom Out. In prophecy, Scripture over and over shows that mankind will be filled with gloom universally. Gloom is going to fill all people during the last days before Jesus comes back. In fact, here's what Isaiah 60 verse number 2 says. Darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the people. What a prophecy of unpleasantness. Thick gloom, darkness covering the people. Another place in Isaiah declares that gloom, like a burial garment, enfolds all the people and covers all the nations. Not good news, really. And yet, we're going to see some good news intertwined in all of these otherwise gloomy verses. Another scripture in Isaiah, chapter 8, verse number 22, declares that humans look toward the earth and see only darkness and distress and fearful gloom. Well, Jesus agreed with these assessments that Isaiah gave about 700 years before our Lord was born. Jesus predicted that just before his second coming, that people would be oppressed by gloom. Let's read the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 25 and 26.
There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken.
Can you imagine that? You see, Jesus is going to come back to a world that's been devastated during the 7 years of tribulation. Cities will be crumbled. Mankind's works will be devastated. Humanity will be greatly diminished by war, by disease, and natural disasters. In fact, Isaiah puts it this way. People will look for light, but all is darkness. People will look for brightness, but will be walking in deep shadows. Well, today, though, we're going to look at God and what He's going to do for you and me. True, we may not be here for a lot of this devastation, but we live now in what is called the beginnings of sorrows, the beginning of birth pains, just before the tribulation. We live at a time whenever the earth is moving toward that 7 years of tribulation prophesied by Daniel and by the New Testament. But now, the good news. The Scripture declares that God is going to bring an inner, inexhaustible glory for His people. A glory in us, not a glory around us. Now, we're going to be affected by the gloom of these last days, but there's going to be an inner, inextinguishable glory in the children of God during the birth pains that lead up to the tribulation. Let's read that book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse number 1, verse number 2.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you.
So God is going to offer to us an inextinguishable glory that cannot be snuffed out by the gloom of the last days. So here we want to share with you now some ideas on how to keep the gloom out of your heart. Keep the world's gloom out of our thoughts, out of our minds. First of all, we want to let the glorious God enter us. We want to let the glorious God, the God of glory, live inside of us. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 27. Here the prophet was shown a picture, a vision of the Lord. Notice what it says that Ezekiel saw. Ezekiel 1, verse 27.
I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him.
Here Ezekiel saw God in all his glory. God, the source of light. God, the producer of light. Glowing metal was what Ezekiel compared the Lord to. Full of fire. Fire inside. Now, this is not a consuming fire, a dangerous fire, but a light, a generator of light. Inexpressible, immeasurable light, brilliant light that surrounds the Lord. So here, Ezekiel described God as the light. But now, the good news is that this light was placed in Jesus, an ordinary human, the Son of God, living in a truly human body, a shining light. Even though Jesus was surrounded by thick darkness, spiritual darkness of every kind surrounded Jesus in both devils and sinful humans. But look at what Jesus said about himself. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse number 12.
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
I am the light of the world. Not just the sun. The sun illuminates the earth. But Jesus says, "I am the light of humanity. Everyone who walks in me will be full of light and walk in the light of life." Look at what it says about Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 16.
His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance.
The sun in all its brilliance. Jesus' face radiated light, even superior to that of the star sun. So God is saying, "I am light. And you humans can live with light inside of you as you allow me to enter you and to find permanent residence in your hearts." Look at this. The Bible says that we are not only full of light, but that God's presence in the believer makes the believer a source of light. John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse number 46.
"I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness."
Isn't that great? I came into the world to be light, so that all those who follow me should not walk in darkness. Okay, now let's go to this wonderful verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. It describes you, let's look carefully at what it says about the believers in Jesus. Ephesians 5, verse number 8.
"For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light."
Notice what it says. It doesn't say we were once full of darkness. It says we once were darkness. We were dark because that was our nature. Darkness filled our minds. Our dead spirits were incapable of comprehending anything of the Lord. Paul called us dead in our trespasses and sins. So we were the very essence of darkness. But then notice what it says. "But now you are light." Does it say you have light or that light lives in you? You are light. We become generators of light because of the presence of God in our spirit. The moon does not generate any light. It simply reflects what the sun shines. The moon cannot be said to be light. It reflects light to the earth. But the sun generates light. So with Jesus in us, with the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit living in us, in these last days, we become generators of light, so that all the gloom of this world, all the gloom of society will not be able to overcome us or to overpower us. We will walk in this world, but we will shine as the stars of the firmament in this dark age. We will be a blessing to the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But in Jesus, we become His partners in illuminating the world. We shine forth the glory of God so that people who are so gloomy in their natures can see that there's hope to escape disappointment, the depression that's filling so many, many people. We will be generators of unconquerable light. I love this verse in John's Gospel, chapter number 1, verse number 5. I'm going to have Dolores read it from the Amplified by here. It says,
"The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it."
Here it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, NIV and other versions say, the darkness has not understood it. But really, in the original Greek word, it means to keep down or under. So the gloom, the darkness of this old world cannot keep down or overpower or stop the light that is Jesus. And the Jesus light that radiates out from us. The darkness of this old world cannot put out or absorb the light that comes from Jesus. Darkness never absorbs light, but light always dispels darkness. And brother, sister, that's what Jesus says you will be in these last days. So keep the God of glory in you. Keep in touch with the God of glory. Well, secondly, after we allow the God of glory to enter us, we do what Isaiah says. We arise. We shine. In other words, we release our indwelling glory. We release the indwelling light that Jesus places in us. Gloom attacks everyone in these last days. Let's read again the words of Jesus from Luke 21, verse 25 and 26.
"There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken."
Anxiety, perplexity, gloom, distress. Gloom attacks everyone in these last days because Satan can easily defeat gloomy, depressed, disheartened, and discouraged people. But the Lord says, in these last days, arise, shine, counterattack, counterattack the gloom of this old world. Stand up. Let the light of Jesus roll back the darkness as we release the glory in us. There's a beautiful story in the book of Acts, chapter number 4. Peter and John were arrested by the Jewish authorities. They were arrested because they were preaching in the name of Jesus. The authorities arrested them, threatened them, and finally beat them, and then released them. The apostles returned to the church. They reported to the church the threats that were leveled against them. The people in the church could see the bruises and the cuts on their bodies. And yet, instead of being overcome by these threats, by this attempt to squash the message of Jesus, here's what the church did. They arose. They shone forth the glory of God. Acts, please, chapter 4, verse 29 through 31.
"Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Sure, there was darkness all around, but the church, instead of succumbing to it, they said, Lord, please enable us, embolden us with your mighty power to spread forth the name of Jesus. And then God responded. Let's reread the Acts 4:31. Here's how God responds whenever we make up our minds to arise and shine. Acts 4:31.
After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Isn't that beautiful? The place was shaken. God entered the Holy of Holies where the people were gathered. They were in his presence, and God re-empowered them. It's like he refilled them with the Holy Spirit. And their light, instead of diminishing, increased. The light of Jesus shone forth from the Christians ever more brightly, ever more brilliantly. So, brother, sister, same thing is going to happen to you and to me whenever we arise and shine. Brother, sister, don't be a person who spends more time watching the news than you spend reading the Bible. Don't become a person who's constantly filling yourself with all the newscasts, which are usually controlled by liberal, anti-Christian people. Don't allow that into you. Allow the Holy Spirit into you. Listen to what Psalm 18, verse 28 declares.
You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light.
Beautiful. You, O Lord, you keep my lamp burning. That's what God does in us. We who make up our minds to arise and shine. What's the last part of that verse again, Dee?
My God turns my darkness into light.
That's the God to whom you belong. And David was writing this thousands of years ago, but it applies to you and me in the 21st century. Our God will make us lights. This is the Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23.
For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light.
As you read the Word, as you read the commands, as you read His Bible, then God's light flares up ever more brightly in your life. And you go to the job. You go to your family. You live in this world, dispelling darkness instead of being overcome by it. Brother, sister, in these last days, we must become praisers of our God. The book of Psalms should be our songbook in the last days. Praise over and over and over is recorded in the book of Psalms, because praise for God refills us with the Lord's brilliant light. Shout out our praise. Lift up our hands. Let's do the way they did in the book of Psalms. True, those Psalms were written by Jewish believers many centuries ago, long before Jesus lived. But God was using them as examples of how we are to praise wholeheartedly, involving not only our spirit, but our mouth, our mind, our body, everything becoming a praise to God. I know I begin each of my days with praise to the Lord. Just singing out His praise, not loudly, not in any overt way sometimes, but in my heart, saying, God, I love you, I praise you, I magnify you, because I know praise is the Bible way to refill ourselves, to rekindle the light of God in our lives every day. Brother, sister, roll back the gloom. Roll it back by constantly reading His Word, hearing His Word, praising Him, fellowshipping with the saints. Let God's glory roll back the gloom. Remember now, John chapter 1, verse number 5. The light came into the world through Jesus, and the darkness could not overpower it. The darkness could not overcome it. The darkness could not dispel it. Brother, sister, we live in a sinful world. We live in a world that's dead set against God. And yet Jesus told us plainly that although we live in this godless society, we are not a part of it. That's so important to remember. Your citizenship is in heaven. Yes, you live on planet Earth, but your citizenship is in heaven. And from heaven, God is sending into you continually the light of Jesus. Let's read John chapter 17, verse number 16. Here Jesus said,
"They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world."
It tells you, you are not of this world, just as Jesus was not of this world. He lived surrounded by every kind of spiritual darkness, and yet the darkness never bothered him. He was a nuisance to the devil. He made devils miserable by the light of his presence. You know, the same thing's going to happen to you. One time, in Acts 19, the Bible says that some non-believers decided to try to use the name of Jesus in dispelling devils and exorcism. So they were going to try to drive these devils out of this person in the city of Ephesus, Turkey. And the Bible says when these unbelievers tried using the name of Jesus, these evil spirits responded, "We know Jesus and we know Paul, but who are you?" Well, you know, I like that statement. We know Jesus and we know you. You can put your name in there. Devils have to respect us because of the Jesus who lives in us. So we might live in a world controlled by the devil, but that world is never going to control us. And that gloom is never going to be a part of us. In fact, in these last days, we are going to experience increasing light. Remember, Jesus is Lord of the last days. He hasn't lost control of this old wicked world, this world that seems so doomed, and truly it is doomed, but Jesus has not lost control of it. He is Lord of the last days. I want you to read about your pathway in the last days. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 18.
"The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day."
It tells you that your path is going to shine ever brighter. So keep in touch with the recharger. Keep in touch with the Lord who will recharge your light day by day, moment by moment. This is this verse, Psalm 34, verse number 5. It describes you and me.
"Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame."
Those who look to the Lord, those who keep in contact with the recharger, it says that we become radiant. It's like a three-way light bulb that you can turn from 30 watts to 70 watts to 100 watts. It's always brighter. So, brother, sister, that's a description of your path. In these last days, you have every reason to be encouraged. You have every reason to be bold. You have every reason. In fact, you have infinite reasons to feel confident in these last days because you belong to the inexpressible, irrepressible God whose light only grows brighter and brighter in the believer. We're going to read one phrase from Exodus chapter 34. It describes Moses, but it also describes you and me. Here it says,
"He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord."
See what it says? His face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Brother, sister, you ought to redouble your effort to spend private time with God. In these last days, as you spend time with Him, when you speak with Him, He is going to cause you to become more and more and more radiant. the gloom of this world is not going to bother you and me. In fact, the Bible tells us our destiny. Our destiny. We're going to be surrounded by gloom in these last days, but we're going to be filled with God's glory. We're going to be surrounded by this world's gloom, by the devil's gloom, but we're going to be filled with God's glory. Until that precious day when Jesus comes back to a ruined planet, a planet ruined by sin, a planet ruined by disaster. But he's going to bring everlasting glory. He's going to dispel all the gloom. And brother, sister, we're going to live in the brilliant, beautiful, life-giving light of God forever and ever and ever. Let's go to him in prayer. Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for being Lord of these last days. We praise you, God, that we are going to be the light of the world. And nothing is going to put out our light. We're going to be a blessing in these last days, Jesus, because you live in us. In your wonderful name, Lord Jesus, amen.